I have a number
that you want to, that I would like for you to consider this morning.
It's a number that when I started giving thought to it, is something that we don't give a lot of thought to this number, I don't think. And it is important because we don't give a lot of thought to that number. Once a week, every year, is 52. Last year in 2013, if the Lord allowed you to be here or at another assembly, 52 times you partook of the Lord's Supper. The Lord willing, if the earth lasts, then we last through 2014. We look forward to participating in the Lord's Supper 52 times, 51 more after today. That is not a large number, but it makes up an entire year. And in looking at that number, there are not many things that we do once a week. One time and one time only. A week. And particularly as Christians, there is only one thing that I thought that we do, and that is this: to eat the bread and to drink the grape juice in remembrance of Christ's death. We can pray, and we should pray many, many times during the week. We can sing many times during the week. We can study. We can read, we can listen to exhortations by others during the week. So the things that we do once a week, I think, are very limited. The importance of an event sometimes is directly proportionate to the number of times we do it. In this case, it might be that the importance of the event is indirectly proportionate to the times that we do it. Because if we did this every day, or if we did this three times a day, as we do a regular meal or many other things in our Christian life, maybe it would become less important to us. It would not mean something as much as it should. So maybe the fewer number of observances should increase the importance of this feast today. Acts 20:7, we know, tells us that upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. No other example do we have. No other example do we have of them doing it more than that, or doing it less than that. I believe 7 days is a very important basis of God's total creation. He created all that He needed to create in 6 days, and the seventh day was established as that day of rest. The Sabbath rest day at the end of their week was certainly a day of rest for them, and the importance of it and the reverence of that day, the things they could do and the things they could not do. We are not so much bound by those things today, but we are bound to the reverence of the first day, because God has reverenced that day over from the Old Testament into the New by all of the things that happened in the New Testament on the first day of the week. The principle of the importance of the first day set primarily by the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. On Sunday, it's the beginning of the week for the Christian. It is not the end of the week. This is the way we start our week. We begin it with this time of reverence, and we begin with a time of recognition of the greatness of God and the greatness of His forgiveness, the greatness of His love for us through His Son, Jesus. Then Monday through Saturday come the routines,
going to work, the coming home, the dealing with the problems, the things of life. But then we look forward to a new beginning on the first day of the week that we can gather together. And in observing the Lord's Supper, again, this is the first time this calendar year that we will do this. But I go to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Before he, or after he took the bread, he gave thanks. We must never offer a prayer for the loaf without making sure that we thank God for it. We may include that God give us the blessing of a, or give us the beneficent, that we benefit by it being a blessing. But we should never cease, we should never fail to give thanks for it. If we do not, we do not follow the example that Christ set. And as always, we follow his example. Paul continues his writing in 1 Corinthians 11, and verse 25. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." In the same way, we take the meaning following the verse when it said he gave thanks for it. And so again, in following that example, we must never offer a prayer for this without giving thanks. We may ask God's blessing upon it, but it must be with thanksgiving. Let us do so at this time, remembering the blood that flowed from our Savior. The verse following, Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26. "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So we have said, I believe that Jesus died, and I believe that he is coming again. So we are in the middle. We can look back to his sacrifice with remorse, with sorrow, but we can look forward to that coming with joy and anticipation. The word whenever. A commentary that I have read says this. That does not explicitly say what day. It's just whenever. And does not set a rule or an example or taking the Lord's Supper. Of course, they will ignore Acts 20 and 7, as I pointed out, and also on explicit commands. When it comes to baptism, they will ignore Acts 2 and 38. That's too explicit, I suppose. So they find ways to ignore both explicit commands and make excuses for the word whenever. Let's go by the Bible. We choose the Bible, and we do. And I appreciate that, and I'm thankful for the brethren that we have here and around the world that see the Bible and read it and understand it and place importance upon the death of our Lord and Savior.